Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
What's the most resilient parasite?
Primetime with Isaac and Sue.
Can build cities. Can transform the world. And rewrite all the rules.
That's what I'll be doing every single night.
Which is why...
No!
I have to steal it.
What are you talking about, Willis?
This is Primetime with Isaac and Sue.
It's gonna work. It's passable, okay? This isn't terrible.
The best in local, regional, and national sports.
With no hidden agenda.
Primetime with Isaac and Sue on 1080 The Fan.
All right. Welcome back. Pleased to have you along. In the news is coming up. New record high COVID cases today in Oregon. So,
record high deaths in a state that is not going in the right direction. Triple digits today in one state.
So we'll have good news for you at 4:30.
Yeah!
Oregon, Ohio State is off. Big Ten has decided to go to a conference-only schedule. Pac-12 likely to follow. ACC as well. Poll question today. Good, wanted that game during a normal year anyway, or sucks, Oregon D is legit. 1080thefan.com, vote on that. Right now, 65% say sucks, Oregon D is legit. So, next question about this. By the way, you can weigh in at 503-250-1080. That's our fan text line.
And you can use that number to call Mike. He wants to hear from you and loves taking your phone calls.
And he wants to go on your podcast.
Yes. By the way, new Beers on Us
Big
podcast
fan.
Coming
it's
up
now. Dropped today.
Yeah, I just dropped it about 10 minutes ago. It's a very exciting episode.
Boom.
I hear Mike's getting his own beer.
That's the rumor.
Is that the rumor?
Yeah. Is that?
I would assume you could confirm or deny this rumor.
I cannot confirm nor deny that.
Oh.
No.
Still
Yeah, I think something's in the works.
Something's going to happen. It's going to have Mike's face on it.
Well, that's a bit strange.
Be able to drink Mike's face.
I don't think people want that.
Would the mouth be like the Papa Top
oh,
there?
Oh, God.
Like you just open it up and
I
it's just
think
Mike's
people,
kiss Mike.
I don't think people want that.
You know what? I would buy your beer if your face was on the top
too.
Of the can. I think that'd be fantastic.
Yeah. All right. Text. Why not everyone just play a conference-only schedule or cancel the season and then push the schedules back a year? That's what a lot of people are asking. Like, if this whole non-conference thing about rescheduling Oregon, Ohio State, or Washington, Michigan, if nobody plays a non-conference schedule, then can't all of the non-conference schedules that are pushed out to 2040 all just be pushed back a year?
Well, again, you could, but this is the problem with college football. Why, you know, every one of the people that were yelling and screaming at us that we don't know what the hell we're talking about, which most of the time we don't. This is why college football was always going to be the hardest one to get off the ground, because there's not a universal body. This is not getting the NFL or the NBA or anything else together to make one decision. You literally have 150 plus institutions doing their own thing. This isn't even a conference thing. Like this, the conference has nothing to do with Ohio State and Oregon. So to have that many schools get together and all agree on something, good luck. You got a better chance of figuring out peace in the Middle East. Everyone's got their own agenda here. And I just don't think that it's not as easy to get together and say, all the ADs, all the commissioners, all the university presidents, hey, let's just move everything back a year. It's just not the way it works in college football.
Okay. Here's a text that says, one challenge with Oregon getting big-time teams to come to Eugene is that it's not a fertile recruiting ground.
Yeah.
They'd more likely go to Washington or even Utah due to the growing top-end recruiting talent in both markets.
Yeah, but Oregon has branded itself a big enough name now. And they have for a number of years. They've gotten big people to come. Michigan's come. Ohio State's come. Tennessee's come. Ohio State's come. Georgia is. I mean, you're right in the sense that it is not. If you had to choose between Washington and Oregon, the school would choose Washington to go up and play, but Oregon's got enough cachet in it where it's in a big enough stadium. And that's the other problem with a lot of the schools out west, is that it's just not financially worth it, not only from a recruiting standpoint, but there's not enough money involved in it for these teams to come out. If you're Alabama, you sure as hell aren't coming out to Martin Stadium and playing in front of 35,000 people. There's no money in it for you.
All right. What about Notre Dame? What are they going to do?
Notre Dame has, what, 6 conference games with the ACC already? That's built in every year.
And the ACC, I think they came out and said they're going to just keep Notre Dame.
Yeah.
They're going to bring them in.
They'll just bring them in. They'll hug them tighter.
So I mean, they're already part of the basketball conference.
Exactly. So they need, what, 4 games? If everyone goes to a 10-game schedule, they just need to come up with 4 games for Notre Dame, and the ACC is more than willing to come up with that. So Notre Dame will not be an issue here.
Okay.
The one, unfortunately, if you're that fan base, the one who's going to be effed in this is BYU. They probably won't have a football season.
So they lost. So I've read a few things about their options. They lose 5 games already if you just say that the Big Ten and the Pac-12 are going conference only.
Yes.
And that would be Michigan State, Minnesota, Utah, Arizona State, and Stanford. Yep. BYU is going to play all 5 of those teams, and those games are now off.
Yep.
I'm sure they're going to lose more more teams.
Exactly. So
there are more conferences go conference only.
Exactly. So if the Mountain West were to follow this, then you lose San Diego State and Utah State. They got Missouri in the SEC. Houston is the, what, American Conference, whatever.
So somebody suggested BYU jump into the Mountain West for a year.
Yeah.
You know, and just play there for a year. You know, like, this is all just so new and so up in the air, but that could solve their problem. There could be enough teams there that they could get a full schedule in.
I would certainly hope so. But again, does the Mountain West want them? Is it worthwhile? And again, what do you do with TV deals? Like Bartu had a great text. He said, how awesome would it be if the Big Ten were to rope in Notre Dame and BYU, and you could, you know, you could do a kind of a super conference league. But again, as fun as these different scenarios are, remember, you're still dealing with, especially the major conferences, huge money payouts, right? And how does all that work as far as, you know, the ACC deals and the Pac-12 network and all the different payouts? This is all fine and dandy to have these sort of grandiose ideas, but remember, you literally have, what, 6 weeks to figure any of this stuff out? I mean, you are really...
It's getting close.
You are really under the gun. And by the way, if you are doing that, not only, and this is why, by the way, I don't buy that the BYU thing will happen. Not only do you have to figure out the financial aspects of it and everything, but realize too that you have to have travel, you have to have hotels, you have to have all the logistics that go into that. That's just it's an absolute nightmare trying to put all that stuff together. This stuff is all planned out so far in advance, and now you're asking someone in the matter of a month's time to put together an entire college football season. I'm legitimately worried that BYU won't be able to have a football season.
So you mentioned Notre Dame needs 4.
Yeah, they need 4.
No, they need 6.
Well, but not
but a, to get to 10.
To get to 10.
Yeah, so the 6 games that they will likely not play now, although we don't know because not all the conferences have announced what they're doing, but Notre Dame, USC would likely be off. Notre Dame, Stanford would be off. Notre Dame, Navy, Notre Dame, Arkansas, Notre Dame, Wisconsin is off, and Notre Dame, Western Michigan.
Yeah. So, I mean, if
they have to find 4 to replace 6.
You got to find 4 to replace 6. Again, I think if you're the ACC, you can probably make that work. And this is, by the way, this is all just assuming that any of this happens. Everyone right now is in full-on scramble mode.
Yeah, but you got to plan, though.
You got to plan.
Just in case.
You got to figure out a way to try to lay some groundwork.
It's not looking good. I mean, do we even have 3 weeks between where I think it was the Iowa AD who said he expects to play in front of full stadiums? Did we even have 3 weeks between that statement and this announcement?
Probably not.
I mean, this is not looking good.
No.
But in the event that they are able to play, they have to have a plan.
Sure.
That's what they're working on.
And then we still don't know what the end of the year looks like. Are you talking
playoff?
Yeah.
Playoff?
Are you talking conference title games?
Yeah. What do we do then?
Do you do an expanded playoff? The one positive thing that maybe come out of this, again, I'm going to try to,
you know what I bet they do?
I'm going to try to shine this turd up a little bit. What do you guys
do? I bet they just play conference and conference championship. Maybe not even a conference championship game because again, fans
and
But they crown a conference champion and they call it good.
Yeah, just say
it's over.
Hey, this year
no national champion.
What I'm hoping for is that, again, if I'm trying to polish the turd here a little bit, if by the end of the year this has calmed down a little bit and we've got a little breathing room and people are feeling better, I'd love to see an expanded playoff. Because, again, in these COVID times, everything can change, right? Major League Baseball was talking about doing it. Now, didn't end up working out, but the NBA and the NHL kind of doing the bubble thing. How great would it be if this led to some form of expanded playoff at the end of the year?
What about BYU Notre Dame 9 times in a row?
Might get a little boring.
Oh, yeah?
Well, we'd find out who God really loves, right?
I guess so, yeah.
Yeah, do you love the Catholics or do you love the Mormons? Let's let the Lord decide.
Yeah.
Do the Jews have a university, Mike? Can they get involved in this?
I don't know if they play football, but there is like Yeshiva University in New York City.
There you go. We sign them up, and then
get them a team.
Where are the Baptists at? Who are the Southern Methodists, right? We can get SMU. Let's just do an all holy war sort of thing. Only church schools, and let's see what happens.
If this year happened last year, does Joe Burrow get drafted?
Oh, he gets drafted, but he's not Joe Burrow.
Does he get drafted?
Yeah, he's not number one.
I don't know if
he
gets
drafted. The year before last year, he wasn't
on anyone's radar.
I know. He gets drafted, but he certainly isn't the number one overall pick.
But does he get drafted?
Yeah, but that's not the question. Obviously, he's not the number one pick. The question is, does he get drafted?
Yes.
Fifth round? Sixth round?
Seventh round?
No.
Ninth? 19th round?
Free agent that gets cut immediately?
Nah, he would be a fourth or fifth
round. But think about that.
Fourth or fifth round pick.
But think about it.
I know how crazy it is.
Think about it.
1 year.
No, we want you to think about it. You're not thinking about it.
I am.
Think.
It's a mental poll question.
But that's crazy, though.
Sure. Like, not everyone is a Trevor Lawrence and a Penei Sewell.
He's not buying what we're selling, Mike.
No.
He's not falling for it.
Joe Burrow would have been drafted. He just...
Okay, but...
I don't think he would have been drafted.
He cost himself a lot of money.
I'm with you. I think he would have been an under-the-radar guy who all of a sudden just comes out of nowhere and is like, oh, my God, undrafted, like Tony Rome, like Tones Romes. He'd have been the next Tones Romes.
I don't think
Romo wasn't drafted.
No, but he also played at Southern Illinois. But there are a lot of guys that, you know, if the season ends up getting delayed or you only play a bit of it or it gets pushed back into spring, it will throw the NFL draft into absolute chaos.
Yeah.
100%.
Good times. All right. Last thing on this, notable games that are likely now off Pac-12 version. We'll do that next. Then in the news on The Fan.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
503-250-1080, The Fan text line. Text says, do you think players like Trevor Lawrence or Justin Fields are rooting for no season, guaranteed top 10 picks, and don't have to risk injury?
No, I think guys like that want to play. I mean, there's a reason why. Well, I guess both those guys had to come back. They weren't eligible for the draft, but
I'd want to play.
Look, guys want to play. I mean,
I'm a soldier.
Yeah. I mean, wait,
what did...
Yeah, he's a soldier.
Winslow?
That was Kevin Winslow.
I'm a Winslow.
They're coming to my knees. I don't care. Come at me. I'm a soldier. Okay. You're also a rapist, by the way. Enjoy prison for the rest of your life.
Hey, I'm not a rapist.
You piece of crap. Not you, Kevin Winslow.
Oh, thank you.
Who is a piece of crap. But no, the vast majority of players, I mean, they may not choose to play in a meaningless bowl game, but at the end of the day, guys like that, especially a quarterback, you're a competitor.
They're kids.
You want to go out and play.
And another one says, if we get 3 weeks in and college football gets completely shut down, can the NCAA issue everybody a medical redshirt?
The NCAA can do whatever they want. Just like they, you know, you can.
That's a good question. I know the Big Ten said, because this is not just football, the Big Ten, it's all their fall sports are going conference only. They said if anybody opts out due to COVID, they will honor their scholarship.
Yes, but
all the way through the academic year 2021.
But they didn't say anything about whether or not that loses a year of eligibility or anything like that.
Right.
And we know that, like, with it wasn't the spring, was it the summer sports? They granted a year of eligibility. So not like basketball players because the tourney got canceled, but baseball players and what was it? It was baseball, there was volleyball, there was one or two other sports that were the spring or summer, I forget which one, that got canceled, and they said that you won't lose a year of eligibility. So this is one of those that if football did get the heave and you weren't able to play a full season, that would be a discussion they'd have to have.
Notable games now off, assuming the Pac-12 does the same thing that the Big Ten did. It goes conference only, and the reports are the Pac-12 is not far behind. As we mentioned, Ohio State, Oregon, and Michigan, Washington. What a horrible year to have this happen.
I know.
Right? Those two games.
But again, I'm assuming if you looked at every year, there would be a handful of these games.
I know, but for the Northwest, though?
Yeah.
Like, that's as good as it gets.
Yeah.
They're getting Ohio State and Michigan in their houses, and we get freaking COVID.
Just got to cross our fingers that they're rescheduled. God.
USC, Alabama.
Yeah, if you're USC, I don't know. Maybe you're happy about that one. I don't know if you want to play them. Although some people think USC is going to be really good this year. I just remember the last time that game got played, that didn't go so well. So maybe if you're USC, you're like, yeah, I'm really disappointed in that. And then you go home and you're like, thank God.
Oregon State, Oklahoma State, the return trip to Stillwater is out.
Yeah.
So, somebody asked earlier, like, what does it do to the ones that they're already halfway home on the home and home? Like, Oregon State, Oklahoma State have already played once.
Yeah, I have no idea. I mean, basically, at this point, no one knows anything. But I am here to tell you that with TV deals and contracts and all the, you know, the travel arrangements, these are not just easily rescheduled and red stamped and, oh, we're going to be, or a rubber stamp, I should say. Oh, it's done and it's through. These things are all very complex. And I promise you that athletic directors and university presidents and every conference commissioners and Mark Emmert, I'm guaranteed that there's emails and Zoom calls and just nonstop right now trying to figure out not just what the hell's going on, you know, with rescheduling, but what's going to happen, honestly, probably on a day-to-day basis.
Maybe some pager signals, you think?
Probably. Maybe the bat signal goes up at some point. And the other thing that I doubt it will happen, again, trying to get everyone under one umbrella, but if this thing has shown us one glaring weakness in the college football plan, because there's a ton of them, but the one that sticks out is just the desperate need for a unifying body, right? To have one leader, and Mark Emmert is not it. That guy is a clown. You want to talk about someone who's just stealing a couple million every year. You have no universal COVID process, no testing protocol. The thing's been completely mismanaged from the get-go, and now you've got total chaos ensuing, and there's really going to be no definitive plan to kind of piece this thing all back together. Oh, and by the way, whether you play 10 conference games or you have to delay the season or whatever, you are going to have major budgetary crisis situations. 70% of your schools across the board. I mean, the big ones will be okay, even if they take in the shorts quite a bit as far as the money goes. But most of these college programs do not operate with huge surpluses. And that should be another thing that this should be a wake up call at the mismanagement of this money on these athletic programs, that one little bump in the road, I guess I shouldn't say that, one big bump in the road, and everything comes tumbling down.
Yeah, but like I said before, I'm looking on the bright side, and maybe this is something that creates a new and better structure for college football.
Yeah.
And college basketball.
Yeah, maybe
it's more sustainable.
Maybe this comes out on the other side.
Better.
And, you know, unfortunately,
there will be casualties.
There'll be bodies on the wayside, but hopefully it reemerges as something new and something better.
All right, other games we will not have now. USC, Notre Dame, Stanford, Notre Dame, as we mentioned. Cal, TCU.
Oh.
That was a good game. TCU is coming to Cal.
Yeah. And Cal's supposed to, you know, a lot of people think Cal's a sleeper team this year.
Colorado, Texas A&M.
Okay. Not bad.
Washington State, Houston.
Again, those are all good games.
Arizona, Texas Tech, and I also added North Dakota State, Oregon, because that's kind of a cool little game.
I wanted to see that too. I think that is, and I don't know, maybe it's just, bias because it's what's right in front of us. That's a hammer non-conference for the Pac-12.
Yeah.
I know a couple years we've done this where, remember, UCLA, Texas A&M was like the big one, and you're like, eh.
Well, you have Alabama, Ohio State, Michigan, and Notre Dame twice.
Yeah. I mean, that's
as good as you can do.
Freaking awesome. And then a lot of those other kind of the tier twos are all really good.
Duck in Kansas, though.
Oh, candy asses. Well, BYU in the coming years plays like every Pac-12 school. BYU has BYU basically has the Pac-12 on their schedule for like the next 19 years.
Do you like that they play such a, their schedule is bonkers. Like, it's really good, but it's also interesting because they play a cool team every week. Like, do you like that or dislike
it? I do, because BYU, I know where we're at and we'll never.
You're not going to go 12-0.
No. And so it doesn't, like, we're not competitive with the big boys. We're not going to.
Sure, you can beat Any given week they can
beat. No. I'm saying as far as getting to a college football playoff or anything like that, right? And there's no conference title to win. I don't care about winning the Mountain West title. So I like BYU schedule because every week you get entertaining games. So I would rather, if I'm a mid-major like BYU, I'd rather go 7-5 or 8-4 and have an awesome schedule that's intriguing to me every week than play in a crappy conference where maybe I'm going to go 10-2 and... But, you know, every week I play, you know, no offense, but I play Nevada and I play San Diego State and whatever. No,
I'm not offended by that.
No, if you said
Kansas and Syracuse, I'd have been pissed.
Well, yeah, I like their schedule. And it doesn't
thank you for your support.
It doesn't bother me as long as you have a realistic
view. We're kind
of
in the same boat, you and I.
Yeah, I know.
Well, let me ask
you basketball schools.
Well, let me ask you that. Kansas and Syracuse both. Mm-hmm. You guys aren't winning your conference.
2057. That's our goal.
If you knew...
I think we're more like 2029 to 40.
Get on board now.
11-year
range. The train is chugging towards 2057 championship.
If you...
Kansas versus Syracuse.
If you knew that your team, like, it wasn't going to have a ton of success. You're not playing in the college football playoff. You're not winning Pac-12 or SEC titles anytime soon.
You have one of the best safeties in the country.
Would you rather have an inflated win total that doesn't mean anything against bad teams or play a kick-ass schedule where 8 or 9 games a year you're really excited to see them play?
I would like to tell you this. Okay, Bill?
Yeah.
When Kansas was really, 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 really bad, like laughingstock bad,
sure,
which I think they might still be, but they're kind of pulling out of that, mm-hmm, I want no part of anyone good.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I honestly, all I wanted... was them to beat Connecticut State.
Sure.
I feel 100% the same way. Do not give me games that are exciting to the masses because I know Syracuse is going to lose 90% of those games.
55-10 is going to be the final score. I don't want to see that.
I want one game where there's upset potential, and I want Syracuse to beat the teams that are even with them 50% of the time and to win against the FCS opponents. So like when they beat Clemson the other year, right? That was insane when they won that game. And then the next year, they almost beat them again, but they were still a pretty average team. That's what I want. One big win, a couple of 50% against the even teams, and then some wins against FCS. And make
me happy. So I guess the point is it matters what kind of team you can field. Like you were saying BYU, you wouldn't be saying what you're saying about BYU
if they were bad
like Kansas.
It's true.
Because it's just a beating.
Because it's weird because every year, maybe they're unique in this. BYU is a good team. BYU last year beat Tennessee. They beat... USC, I think those were their two big non-conference. And they beat the South, I don't think they played Central or South Florida. Played one of the directional Florida schools, who was pretty good. But then, like, Utah just alley-whips them. Washington stomped a mud hole in them. But at BYU, I know that they're good enough to beat some really good teams, but they're not good enough to win week after week. I know they're not good enough to go play in a college football playoff. So I will take 7 to 8 wins, which is about what you get every year, and a couple big upsets. But every week I know that it's an exciting game. They're a unique team, and that you're right, and that they're not bad to where you want them to play just crappy teams to get meaningless wins. But they're not good enough and never will be to compete with Oregon and SC or Alabama or Ohio State or whatever big conference power that you have on a week-to-week basis. So I like the fact that they're independent, and they play, to me, one of the more interesting schedules in the country. Look, if you were their schedule this year is Utah, Michigan State, Arizona State, Minnesota, Utah State, Missouri, Houston, Northern Illinois, Boise State, San Diego State, Stanford.
That went too fast.
I think that's one of the best schedules in the entire country.
It's a fun schedule.
Yeah. And they play Northern Alabama. The only game on there that I wouldn't want to watch if I was a BYU fan is Northern Alabama. Every one of those. And you're going to get alley whipped by a couple, you know, probably Utah. But you are going to be in 80% of those games, and that to me is much better than playing in the damn old WAC or the Mountain West or the American Athletic Conference.
All right, guys, there is hot college football talk. Up next, smoking hot COVID talk.
All right.
You ready for some more COVID?
Yeah, it's not good.
I got some good news in here.
Do you?
Yeah.
There's
some good news.
There's some bad news as well.
Yeah, thanks, Powell. People don't want that. They want to be uplifted. And in the news, we'll do just that. You know why? Because it's no bra day.
All right. I'm not wearing mine.
Is this going to be like an uplift sandwich? There's going to be a positive story. You're going to slide in the negative news and then positive story.
I have to report you the news. Okay.
It is your responsibility.
We are fair and balanced. It is my responsibility. And the COVID numbers in Oregon are not good today.
Yeah.
But I have other good news. Okay.
All right.
Okay.
It's not all bad. It's not all doom and gloom.
Sorry, I was trying to get excited for something.
We will have in the news next. Here's Mike.
And Suk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, it's 4:37, guys. Thursday. Yeah, Hot 5 at 5 coming up. The Blazers, they are...
They're probably in the bubble now.
They're in the bubble, bro.
I would assume they've arrived.
Doing their thing. But right now... It is July 9, 2020. It is time for In the News. I am your noted newsman. As I mentioned to you, it is National No Bra Day.
Well, it's about damn time.
So I am not wearing a bra today.
No, nor am I. I'm letting them swing in the breeze. We're going to do the show shirtless next. You know what else it is today?
What?
And I don't think you're going to mention this.
What?
It is the birthday of the honorable I. Everett Robb.
That is correct.
Happy birthday, you magnificent bastard.
Thank you. I'm 45 today. That's 45 years old.
You don't look a day over 45.
I know. Tim Taylor, I was back there talking to Tim Taylor. He's like, hey, happy birthday. I said, hey, thanks. He goes, how old are you? I said, 45. He goes, Jesus, really? He thought I was like 52.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't think
he's like, oh my God, you're young.
You don't look 52. You look 45.
Well, that's what he thought.
It's the gray.
Well, I was trying to. I think he was just trying to make himself feel better.
Okay.
Because he's like.
Well, he looks old.
He's almost 60.
Is he really?
No, but he's in his 50s.
I was going to say, he looks pretty good if he's 60.
He looks good. He's like, I think he's 54, somewhere in there.
Okay.
Tim Taylor. The great Tim Taylor.
Again, I just think the gray kind of throws, you know.
Yeah.
The gray.
It just makes you look older.
It prematurely ages you. That's all.
It is also the birthday of O.J. Simpson. He and I share a birthday.
Yes. The greatness that is yours truly.
Great running back, OJ's.
He was a great running back.
And National Sugar Cookie Day. Okay, here's the bad news.
Did you just glossing over sugar cookies?
I love sugar cookies.
God damn right.
But we got to get going here. 389 new COVID cases in Oregon.
Yeah. We're not.
That is an all-time high.
That's not the direction we want to go.
That's
we're
a record.
Like 210, right?
Yeah, we were at 217 yesterday.
Oh, boy.
Excuse me. So 389, we had six new deaths. Five of the six deaths had underlying conditions. One did not. That was a 63-year-old woman in Crook County. The other deaths were all over the age of 71 and, as I said, had underlying conditions. So that is the bad news.
I thought you said you had good news.
I'm looking for it. I have a story of a hero passerby in Redmond.
Okay.
It's good news.
Yeah.
Well, exciting.
If you want the other bad COVID news real quick is Arizona, Texas, Florida, they're all seeing huge jumps, not just in COVID cases, but in hospitalizations. And now the deaths are coming. Texas, for the first time since this whole thing started, had a triple digit death day. Over 100 people died yesterday from COVID. So... Everyone that was yelling and hooting and hollering saying that, oh, our numbers are up just because we're testing more and this isn't a thing. And, you know, oh, hospitalizations. No. Hospitals down south are running out of beds. Hospitals across Florida reporting shortages of PPE already. And now we're getting triple digits again of people dying. So please, 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 people, let's take this seriously because apparently we didn't do it the first time around.
You ever heard of Bailey Vardanaga?
Of the Southern Vardanegas? Yeah,
yes.
I know them well.
Of the Redmond Vardanegas.
Oh, yeah. Like, grew up together, like besties.
Yeah, she's a real estate broker in Redmond. She was driving home from work last night. Oh, wait, today's Thursday. Tuesday night, when she saw a toddler running barefoot across Highway 97.
Ooh, can't do that.
That's a rarity.
Yeah.
The child's father was nearby, flagging down traffic in the middle of the highway. Speed limit there, 55. She pulled over in the northbound lane and saw the toddler pass the front of her truck and run towards a fence that separated the highway from the irrigation canal.
Oh, boy. So the baby wanted to get to that irrigation canal and was not going to be denied.
She immediately got out of her truck, crossed the highway, and jumped the fence to chase after the toddler. She watched as the little dude fell into the canal.
I told you.
And there's water in there.
He wanted to get in that canal.
Yeah. wanted to go swimming.
Well, maybe it was hot. I don't know.
So she saw him trying to keep his head above water. There was no hesitation. She jumped feet first in and swam to the boy. And she swam as fast as she could towards him.
Well, I would assume so. I don't think she casually dog paddled towards him.
She was just backstroking, like whistling.
Leisurely taking her time.
She said she was two or three strokes away from him when he went lifeless.
Oh.
He was no longer trying to save himself. He was just
He got tired.
Yeah. She grabbed him, swam back to the east side of the canal where his father was there. The toddler coughed up some water and started breathing.
You kick ass.
How about that?
Good for that lady.
Freaking hero.
Freaking hero.
Listen, the dad was on site, and he wasn't going to get there in time.
Where was the, like, what?
What?
Did the baby just get, like, loose?
Is it's a toddler. It's not a baby.
Well, is it, like, a super fast toddler? Like, what's the deal? Is this, like,
I don't know.
The world's fastest toddler? Like, no one realized it was running across the highway into the canal? Where was the dad?
The two-year-old boy wandered away from his home on Northeast 3rd Street, where he was being watched by his grandmama.
You know what? She wasn't watching. You know what she was doing? Just keeping an eye on him.
Right.
And there's a difference.
He got out of there.
Yeah, you can't keep an eye. You got to watch.
So the kid's father was walking home at about 5:45, and he saw his son running across the highway.
Holy crap.
And he's like, Grandmama.
What?
So then it was rush hour and everything, so he ran after him, but it was the lady that got to him first in the water.
Huh.
And he was very lucky he didn't get hit by a car.
Yeah.
Second, he's very lucky he didn't drown. So here's to Ms. Bailey Vardanaga. Vardanaga. Redmond. If you want real estate in Redmond, go buy it from her because she's great.
Now, did you see the other? We have two heroes today. Did you see the baby caught out of Phoenix?
No.
Okay, this, you need to YouTube this. He's an ex-college football player and he was a former Marine. So there's an apartment fire. It's one of the more amazing videos you've seen. So it's a third-story apartment. The place is ablaze, right? Absolutely on fire. And the person chucks the baby out of the third-story apartment. Mm. The dude comes out of nowhere and catches the kid.
Come
like,
on.
Right as the kid's getting ready to smack
diving
the ground.
Diving sideline catch?
Diving sideline
catch.
Toes
inbounds?
Unbelievable.
What do I Google here?
Arizona
baby fire?
Yeah, Arizona man catches baby.
It is right there.
It's freaking nuts. And there is another guy down there who maybe was like ready to catch the kid, but he totally biffs it. He was not going to catch the kid.
This kid's a wide receiver?
Yes. He's a former wide receiver.
Oh, come on.
Yes. And the guy who was waiting at the bottom, who I'm assuming they were going to throw the baby to, you know, he's like, that guy in no way. He totally biffed it.
Holy crap.
And I mean, he catches that kid an inch
just
from the ground.
In time.
Yes.
Yeah, that dude, the guy who was going to catch the baby.
Yeah.
Total fail.
Like, he had no way. That kid's going right through his hands and smacking the ground.
My God, that is wild.
And that dude,
you guys got to see that video.
It is freaking crazy.
So the kid's okay, huh?
Yeah, kid's okay. No injuries.
Wow.
Like, if you're that guy at the bottom, like, that was supposed to make the catch, you know you're like, hey, glad thing we were, you know, good thing we were both there. No, it's a good thing that other guy was there because you failed.
I'll take 50% credit for that.
No. That guy had to move that other guy away so he could make the grab.
I tell you what,
that is one of the more amazing videos you'll see.
Bananas. Absolutely bananas.
And someone's right. I think the mom might have perished in the fire, though.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I mean,
because there's another woman down there too.
Yeah.
When the camera pans back up to the fire, you don't see who. Like, there wasn't somebody who dropped the baby. I think the kid just jumped.
The
kid fell. The
kid jumped or they hucked it, but it was a serious fire. But I saw.
Well, you don't see anyone who hucked it.
I'm gonna look up here. Someone died in the fire, and I don't know if it was the mom or not, but I do. I think it was. He was at a friend's apartment just hanging out, and he saw the, you know, saw the fire. Boy. And then came running over. And
that guy
makes it. Phillip Banks.
Phillip Banks. You think UCLA will give him a coaching job too?
Someone should.
Isn't that what?
Yeah, that's where Keenan Lowe
went.
Yeah, he ended up going there.
Man.
I'm not here to say which one's the bigger hero. Those are both heroes in
both of those
stories.
The ground, by the way, where the kid was, like, being hurled towards is rocks.
Yeah.
It's not like it was grass.
No, and it's three stories. That kid's in a lot of trouble. And it was. He noticed that the mom did throw the baby off the balcony. So I guess you just couldn't see it because the flames and the smoke.
Yeah, you can't see her.
But he said he was hanging out, and he saw the fire and wandered over to see if maybe he could help. And he saw the lady getting ready to throw the child, and he started running.
You think that's in his top five greatest catches?
I think that is number one. That's going on the highlight reel, 100%.
And he Philip Blanks.
And he just said it was instinct. He said, "I wasn't thinking much. I just reacted."
Yeah, that's what you do in those situations.
He did throw the other guy under the bus, though. He goes, "So the guy who was there with me, it looked like he wasn't going to catch him. That's why I stepped in. I just wanted to make a better catch." He threw the other guy under the bus.
Now, do you think it looks...
Yeah, this jackass wasn't going to do anything. He wasn't going to make the catch.
Wow. It looks a little bit like maybe the baby's butt touched the ground, which is incomplete.
Maybe. But I'll tell you what, upon further review, I'm calling a good catch. I think he had control of
the
baby.
Okay, there's the mom. Boy, she just tucks that kid.
Yeah.
God, there is so much to unpack from that video. And why is the kid naked?
I don't know. But yes,
I guess we'll just ignore that part.
Let's not look.
Maybe just because of the fire.
It's possible.
The clothes were on fire or something.
I don't know.
Like, that's a big ass fire.
The mom did pass away.
She died.
Yeah, she died in the fire.
She couldn't get out of there.
No.
Why didn't she jump?
I don't know.
You know?
Maybe that was the last hurrah that she had. I don't know. Or there were two others. There were two other kids there, but they were treated in release. So maybe she went back inside for the other kids.
Yeah.
I don't know. But it's the most. One of the most insane things I've seen on video.
Fascinating. Okay, coming up next, let's take a look here, Bill. See what we got.
And someone said exactly. You know what? In that situation,
what?
You got to realize it's the fourth quarter. You swallow that whistle.
Swallow the whistle on
you
that?
You swallow the whistle.
Look, that's a good damn catch.
Yeah, you don't, you know, I don't care what replay says. You just, that's a catch. It's a completion. Swallow the whistle. Look the other way. First down.
All right, we've got lawsuit news coming up next. 449 on the Fan.
Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
And for our final story here tonight, before we get back to sports, the salon owner in Salem, you remember her?
One that was going to open despite the restrictions?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, I think she did, didn't she?
Yeah, she may have.
Her name is Lindsey Graham.
Yeah, and then people started calling her out that she wasn't like a small business owner or anything. She was actually quite wealthy and was kind of more grandstanding.
I don't know if she's wealthy, but she's not hurting.
Yeah.
According to our reporters on the street. The owner of Glamour Salon in Salem filed a lawsuit against the state of Oregon and Governor Kate Brown today.
Oh.
Claiming they sent OSHA to her business and illegally and improperly issued her a $14,000 fine. This is a federal lawsuit. It reads, Governor Brown arbitrarily identified some businesses as essential and others, like my business, as non-essential. Governor Brown shouldn't be in the business of choosing winners and losers in the marketplace. Every business is essential to the business owner. She also alleges that Child Protective Services were sent to her home. Governor, well, she's... Governor Kate Brown, the City of Salem, OSHA, their Health Division, the Oregon Health Licensing Office, and worst of all, Child Protective Services engaged in a systematic effort to harass, bully, and punish Lindsey Graham and her family for engaging in legal business activities. Yeah.
Oh,
so,
Lindsey, woe is me.
Yeah, the lawsuit.
I do love the you're infringing upon my constitutional rights, people.
Yeah, well...
Yeah, hey man, I mean, if you feel like you've been wronged, you have every right to file a lawsuit, and, you know, good luck to you. I'm not sure where the Child Protective Service thing comes in, but, you know, knock yourself out.
The story is developing, it says here.
Everyone's a victim now, right? All a victim. Tired of being you know, the wealthy white people are tired of being oppressed. I'll tell you that right now. We're not going to take it anymore. I'm just saying, nope. Wait, I'm not wealthy, but I am white, and I'll tell you what, I'm tired of it. Tired.
I think that's all we have time for.
You seem exhausted. You okay?
I'm exhausted.
Because it's your birthday and you feel that you're one step closer to death? You feel it sliding away?
Well, that was uplifting. No. not at all.
You're closer.
I feel great.
You're closer to the end than you are at the beginning.
Oh yeah, I'm more than halfway home.
Unless you make it to 90, I mean, you may. I don't know.
I doubt it.
With your high level of income and the advancements in science,
yes.
You'd live to be 100, 150 years old. Be fine.
I want to get to 85.
That's the goal?
I like 85.
I understand.
Anything after that is gravy.
Boy, I'll tell you what. My anything gravy is quite a bit lower than that.
What age?
I'm going to go...
50?
I'm going to say 77.
Really?
76, maybe? Mid-70s, and honestly, at that point, if you told me right now that I could get to 76, 77, I'd...
Really?
I'd be happy.
You wouldn't be like, ah, damn it. I didn't make 80. Like, right when you're dying, you'd be like, ah, it's a little early.
I mean, look, I'm not saying I don't want to live to be 80, but...
Again, I know, but...
I just don't feel like I would have been... I didn't get robbed.
Okay.
In my mid-70s. Like, my dad died at 71, and I feel like that sucks.
It's too short.
I was too short.
Yeah.
I don't feel that 71 was enough.
Yeah, we always do this with dogs, right? Like, you know, I put my dog... not the last one. The last one was 10.
Yeah.
That I felt was a little early. But, you know, got cancer. It just was...
See, dogs for me are 10.
My other dog was 11.
Yeah.
And I felt pretty good life. I was just talking to a guy today, a friend of mine, who has a dog that's 14. I'm like,
oh
that's like being in your 90s.
Yeah,
it's
you're
like,
great.
It's all, look, that dog goes down tomorrow. Great life.
You're sad, but you're like, high five. Life. You made it to the end. I have an American Bulldog that's 10 and is kind of getting lumpy.
I'd like to see him get to 12.
There's some growths on there. And I realize that we're probably, you know, the clock is ticking. One of those is going to be cancer eventually. I've had a couple checked out, but again, if I got another year out of her, she makes it to 11.
Yeah,
I'm with you. It's good run. Was it Carl Reiner? He made it to the was it 90 something? He just passed away.
He was in his
90s. Same thing. That's not sad. That's a celebration.
Well, 70, it is sad though.
A
friend of mine's dad died recently. He was 100. Still sad.
See, to me, I'm celebrating that. My mom makes it, or, you know, my other dad, dude, they make it into their 90s. I'm not bawling at the funeral. I'm going Irish wake style. I'm tipping one back for him and being like, hell of a run, Pop.
All right, the Hot 5 at 5 is coming up next. Big news out of college football today, which we'll get to. 4:58 on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.